Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Jade.
Thank y'all for listening to Hannah's Heart today. We are a radio show, podcast that began as focusing on infertility and miscarriage and child loss, but man, we've covered a whole lot more.
Y'all
since
do
then.
Cover a lot. I'm just glad to be tagged along.
You're covering a lot too, Jade. Jade has, y'all have gotten to know her voice now from episodes way, way back, and also here lately for a few months now. You've
this
been
show,
here a lot.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's ministering to me because I'm still in the midst. We're all still in the midst to some degree. And so it's a blessing to be here. Well, I'm glad about your guest today.
Me too.
This is a friend of yours, right?
This is, she's family. Would you call yourself family, Tama?
Oh, definitely.
I think,
my girl.
I was about to say, I think she kind of took Will and I in our college days. Will actually lived with them, she and her husband, Danny.
Oh.
How long? Was it like a month? How long was it?
I don't even remember, but it was fun.
So Will, small little story real quick. Will's apartment caught on fire in Jackson when we were in college.
My Lord.
And so it was the apartment below him, and then, you know, caused problems with their apartment. So anyway, he moved in with Tama and Danny and their two girls, who we're going to learn about a lot on today's show. And so they've literally been such a blessing as mentors to both Will and I before we got married, and keeping us definitely Christ-centered and encouraged us just in every way to remain pure. And so I definitely, they have definitely been with us through our walk together as you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancés, and then as husband and wife now.
Wow.
And then
how many years has this been, y'all's friendship?
Oh, 2013.
Oh, wow. I
love
that.
Yeah,
that's
about
good.
A little, 10 years now, so.
I love friendships like that.
Hosted a wedding shower, been to baby showers, girls were in our wedding.
No. So.
Y'all been through life, life.
Yeah. But today, so Tama, you're not necessarily coming on to talk about infertility or miscarriage, but we're covering a different topic that we've actually had some listeners to write in requesting us to cover. So do you want to just start out and give us a little backstory, just very short backstory of you and Danny, and then your kiddos?
Okay. Danny and I have been married 23 years. We met in college, got married after we graduated, and my husband's a football coach, and we moved to Mississippi in 2003, and I was a teacher here for a while, then got, you know, had Abigail and came home to be a stay-at-home mama, and we have had Amelia in 2011, and so we have our two sweet girls, and Abby's in college now, Amelia's in fourth grade, and we're just always rocking and rolling and, you know, doing stuff and running around and busy with church and school, and it's a fun full life. So
y'all have always been so busy in a wonderful way, busy just because of how you're so involved.
Great. And we do,
I'm still, if people are watching the video, my face is like, you have a college kid? Girl, you sound so young.
Oh, and she looks young, too.
Okay, Tama. She probably does have a little black in her.
You.
Y'all, I thought she was black because of that, her name. I'm sorry. I know that was probably bad. I shouldn't. But I did. But girl, you sound young. You know what they say, black don't crack. We do crack, y'all. It's just a little bit slower.
I'm sorry. I appreciate it. Oh, my word. I was 35 when I had Amelia. So, yeah. You know.
You're so, not, 35, but, listeners, a lot of people think that that's like doomsday by the time you hit basically 30.
But it's not. I don't listen to that at all because I'm knocking at 34 soon. So.
Well, it's definitely not. So, Tama, were you, I think you've shared with me before that you were put on like a high risk list because of your age. Is that right?
Because I was 35, yes. And I had some issues when I had Abby. And so, you know, it was just kind of one of those, they just watched you and, you know, had a little more extra care, but, you know, it was fine. And so we didn't think anything of the pregnancy. It just kind of went along as normal. My best friend is my OBGYN, so that was, you know, fun. And she took really good care of us. And so when Amelia was born on August 2nd, it was a C-section, and my doctor, best friend, my baby's aunt, and she knew instantly when she pulled her out. Did not know before she was born, but when she pulled her out, she was like, oh, I think she has Down syndrome. Didn't say that to me, but said it to the others, and they whisked her off and, you know, did testing and stuff. And then they came and talked to us. And, you know, it was kind of, I guess you could say it was a shock because we had no idea.
Right.
We didn't, you know. But I wasn't taken aback. I was a teacher. I had, you know, taught students with Down syndrome. I had, you know, been around them. So it was just kind of like, okay, let's rock and roll and let's get on this. And what do we need to do? What tests need to be done? Make sure she's healthy. Make sure she's good. So, you know, it was a blessing that the people talking to me loved me and loved my children and knew me. And so it came across as, hey, this is, you know, the diagnosis that we think we have, but it's not doomsday, you know, it's just something we need to look into and see what's going on. And I know a lot of people don't have that after they've had their baby. I've heard horror stories, but it was God's blessing to us that, you know, here's my best friend telling me, and it's going to be okay, you know, it's going to be good. And so,
Tama, if I may.
Yes.
So, because I know, okay, I have not had a child yet, but don't they usually test the baby prior, before you deliver? So, because you said that you didn't have a clue.
You can have that testing. I opted not to have it.
Gotcha.
Because why?
Right.
All right, Tama, I like you.
That's how we feel about it.
Yeah. Why test? Because I remember when they came in and asked me, it was like that, you know, 18-week appointment. And they're like, hey, do you want to, you know, do this testing? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I didn't do it with Abigail. And so when, you know, my doctor came in, she looked at me and she's like, well, what are you going to do about it if something comes up? And I was like, well, nothing. She's like, well, then why do it? And I was like, exactly. So we I opted not to have the testing. And so therefore we did not know. And I'm glad I didn't know.
Because
I feel like sometimes, you know, it can cause more issues.
Yeah, like, well, you're worrying about something that you have no control over now at all.
Exactly.
That's how we feel about genetic testing. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it, but I'm just going to speak on this just for a second. With John Micah, his diagnosis, I felt guilt as soon as I heard what he had, and I was like, oh my goodness, if I would have done genetic testing, would they have known? And the doctors all said, no, this does not show up on genetic test. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, so even if I would have had that done, you know, this wouldn't have covered that. So I'm not saying genetic testing is wrong if you want to know those things. But yes, my doctor, when we discussed it, and I was like, I haven't done it in the past. Do I want to do it now? And he was like, are you going to terminate the pregnancy if you hear some bad news? And I'm like, absolutely not.
Right.
So no,
absolutely
I love
not.
That. I love that.
So yeah.
Now, when she was born, I know it's common for Down syndrome babies to have some heart defects or heart trouble. Was that part of her story?
No, it was not.
Oh, praise the Lord.
That is one thing they took her off. You know, they were like, "Look, we're going to take her and do testing." I'm like, "You guys do what you got to do.
Yeah,
like go for it." And gave them all, okay, do whatever you need to do. And she didn't have anything.
They
did send off the test for genetic testing. She came home with us at the same time, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
A couple days after she was born. And just rocked and rolled. And it's been a roller coaster and a fun ride. That's for sure.
I bet it. Yes. Tama.
But
no, you go. You go. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Ma'am.
No, you go. I didn't mean to interrupt. I won't forget.
Oh, no, no, no. So I don't know what all you want me to talk about now.
Oh, well, I got you, girl. This was my next okay. question. I'm so into this story because my sister, she's 38. She has Down syndrome, and she's been the life of our world. That girl thinks she runs everybody.
That is Mil Mil.
Yeah. I'm telling you. I'm curious. How did your daughter, Abigail, right, your oldest baby girl, how did she handle knowing that, hey, Sissy has a disability?
Okay, I love that you asked that question. That was one of the really cool things. When we got home from the hospital, Abby had been staying with a friend. And anyway, so she got home and, you know, she'd come to the hospital and seen her. And then when we got home, we're sitting there. And I was like, Danny, we need to tell Abby about this. Like, because people are going to be coming in and out of the house and saying things. And she was six, but she understood things. And I didn't want to leave her hanging and her thinking something's right. going on. So we sat her down and we just, you know, explained to her, hey, you know, Amelia has, you know, Down syndrome. And of course, I went into the whole like doctor scientific like terminology. And she's just kind of looking at me and she goes, Mom, it's not a big deal. I have friends that I play with on the playground that have Down syndrome.
Oh, my Lord.
And yes. It was the most amazing thing. And it shows how much inclusion is such an amazing, gift to everybody, whether it be kids that have a disability, whether it be family members of kids that have a disability, whether it be other children, for them to see and play. And it was such a gift. And Abby was kind of like, you know, what's the deal? No big deal, Mom. And so, tell you this, it was very profound. I was very shocked when, after we kind of were explaining, you know, hey, we're going to be going to a lot of doctors. We're going to be, you know, going to therapies. There's going to be a lot of people in and out, like, just so she was, you know, ready and aware that the things were going to be happening. And she looked right at us and she was like, can I ask a question? And we were like, well, yeah, ask away. And she was like, why does Amelia have it and not me? And we were both like really taken aback. And I was kind of like, whoa, like what a profound question from a 6-year old. And really the only thing I could say was that's the way God made her. Mm-hmm. And it's truth. You know, that's so the way God made Amelia. And I just, you know, I explained to Abby in my 2 days after having a baby emotional, you know, self of, hey, you know, God has given Amelia to us as a gift just because, one, she's your sister and she's a child of God and she's ours. And I said, and two, we're going to be going to all these doctors and all these nurses and all these therapists and just people we see in the grocery store, to church, to school. And hopefully in some way, shape, or form, we can show them the gospel through your sister, through the way we talk, through the way we treat her, through the way we treat others. And so that was just, that was my answer, was this is our way that we're going to show people the love of Christ.
Oh, and that's amazing, Tammy.
Hopefully somewhere through all of this in the last 12 years, we've been able to do that. Because I'll tell you what, Amelia loves big. And so if you know Amelia, you've either gotten a hug from her and you've been pretty much knocked over.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, you've been shunned because she either loves you or she doesn't. You know, kind of like no middle ground.
So, I'm guessing what comes to her mind comes out, right?
Yes. Well, she loves me, but if she sees Will,
she doesn't like Will.
No, I'm done for. Will.
Oh, she likes Will.
Her boys.
She does.
Did you say she loves her boys? Yep.
Oh, yes.
I can understand that.
Hey, her daddy's a football coach, and she loves her boys.
Share with us what Abby is now in college for.
Oh, Abby is in college to be a nurse.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I guess that takes it back to Abby. I mean, she treats her just like any other sibling. Mm-hmm. They wrestle, they bicker, they love each other, they cuddle, they coddle each other, they, you know, go on sister dates, they're just plain old sisters, no big deal, and just carry on. And I know that a portion of Abby going into the medical field is to be able to, you know, if someone has, you know, someone with a disability or, you know, just something different, she's able to be like, hey, no big deal. It's the way God made you. It's going to be a life for Christ. You know, she just loves to love on people and loves babies, both my children. They get it, honestly. But, you know, just I feel like the Lord has led her in that direction to be able to be a light for others and to, you know, be like, hey, all life is worth everything.
Yeah. Every life. Every
God
life.
Made us all perfect and in his own way. And I hope that she's able to show that through her words and her actions and the way that she treats others while she is in the medical field. So. Yeah.
Tame. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm curious. This is so much fun. I'm enjoying this. I have never even met your baby girl, Millie, neither one of them, but I'm like, I feel like I know Mill. I'm curious, like, because I've heard of, I have a friend, she has a Down syndrome son, and when she first heard the diagnosis, she was very depressed, and this is not me beating her down. Everyone's experience is different. She had never been around someone with special needs, and again, everyone's experience is different, and so for her, she was just kind of like, Lord, why did you punish at the beginning? Now she is just like, oh, she hates it. She thought that, but she's human. What would be your encouragement to a parent who's listening and they have a Down syndrome child or any type of special needs child and they're struggling with that? What's your encouragement? Because I love y'all's attitude. Okay, we're going to live life, you know, and that's the attitude we should have. What would be your encouragement to those parents?
Good question. You know, I never struggled with it. And so that's kind of, I have to try to put myself in that person's shoes. Yeah. Number one, my encouragement would be is don't get on the internet.
Yes, girl.
Because, I mean, I'm serious. I never Googled Down syndrome. Because I didn't want to see what, quote, other people's expectations or limitations were for my child. Because I felt like, it's my child, and I don't want to look at her and be like, oh, well, you're not supposed to be able to do this by this time. No, she's going to do it at her own pace.
Come on.
Whether we exceed it or we, you know, whatever. And I didn't want other people putting limitations on her or on me as her mother.
Yeah.
So I would say, A, don't Google. Don't Google. And get people in your corner. You know, there's so many people out there that love you and love your children no matter what. And that was the biggest thing was we don't live near family, and our church and our friends are our family. And just they loved on us and they loved on my children and they still love on my children. Half the people at church are, you know, aunts and uncles to my kids. And just our friends just take my children in as their own. And just knowing that it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm not really one of those that people are like, oh, God gives special parents special babies. I feel like God gives us stuff no matter what it is in our life to grow us and to make us better.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's what Amelia's done for me is made me a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And that she's taught me things that I would have never have learned had I not had her. And so, you know, like, for instance, I can't take her to the grocery store without adding an extra 20 minutes on because she sees people differently. She will greet people, talk to people, want to know your whole life story, standing in the aisle. And it's people that you would have never thought to even look at or talk to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, from the homeless man to the man with the turban to, you know, just random people that she stops and talks to, and it's like she almost knows that they need someone to talk to and to love on them. And she'll be hugging people in the grocery store and they'll look at me like, can I do this? I'm like, yeah, hug away. But it's like she has this intuitive feel, like there's just some kind of intuition in her that she knows when people need to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't do all the superficial fluff. She goes right at it. Like if she was to meet you, she's gonna be like, hey, what's your name? Are you married? Do you have babies? Why not? Do you have a dog?
Yeah,
why not? Do you have a cat? But she gets into the whole list and she goes down instead of just, hey, how are you? Okay, great. You know, she wants to know who you are. And she's going to remember you and she's going to remember your stuff. And she's probably going to give you a nickname. And if you get a nickname, then you really are special. So, I think I would say to another parent, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be, you know, things you might have to fight for. I always say fight for your babies. You're the only one that's there to fight for them.
Yeah.
But in a good and kind and respectful way. And I don't know what else to say about that. Just there's a lot I could say, a whole episode, but love your baby. That's the biggest thing, is because people are going to see you loving that baby, and then that's going to make them, you know, love other people as well.
Absolutely.
So. For sure. Tama, now this was back in July that me and you talked about this, but you were sharing with me, because I think you had to go to like the state office either that day or the day before to get possibly some help for either medical needs or therapies or something like that. Do you have any advice for people who are needing to find out like about therapies? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, just like, what are some resources that if a parent do what?
I will say one of the top things that I think was one of the best thing someone shared with me, Amelia was maybe like 2 weeks old, and they were like, you need to get her signed up for speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physical therapy. Okay. And I was like, okay, what do I do? And, you know, that was one of the biggest things that we got into, because those therapists not only pushed my child to be better mm-hmm. and to learn and to go and to exceed her limits of what, quote, people had mm-hmm. put on, you know, yeah. diagnoses, but it helped me learn what I needed to be doing with her. And it pushed me to push her to make her better. And my biggest thing, I guess, is the resources are out there. Depending on the state you're in, it's going to change.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, insurances, some pay for, you know, some therapies. There's some programs out there where there's like colleges, you know, that have programs that you can get very inexpensive therapy with people that are learning to be therapists. There's some states that have Medicaid, like for disability, that will help mm-hmm. take care of some of those costs. But look around, fight for it, ask questions. And I don't mean fight as in being mean. I mean, you know,
to be an advocate.
Speak it out.
Yeah.
And be an advocate for your child. Thank you. That's a much better word. Thank you, Anne.
But you can fight too. Sometimes they'll take you there. It's my baby.
And so, you know, just knowing, finding out the resources and the things that are out there for the betterment of your child.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, you know, it's your baby. Well, you got to do what you got to do to make, you know, to help them to become yeah. a better person for society and to be able to succeed and do well. And so, you know, I mean, she's going to hold down a job someday. And
come on, Tama. Yes.
Yeah, I mean. You know, I mean, like right now, her main focus is she wants to be on the sidelines coaching with her daddy. We're like, well, you got to be working on your reading and writing in school. And so that's like her motivation so mm-hmm. that she can help write down like plays and stuff, okay. you know. So,
Tama, I have another question, because we're about running out of time. And this question is kind of heavy, and but it's a good question, because I think this is something parents with special needs children think of. Because my mom used to think about this all the time, and I would tell her, Mom, you don't have to worry about this. Have you ever thought about what would happen to your baby girl, Mil-Mil, when you and your husband pass? And not for like for our household, Jazz, my sister, is gonna come live with us. But and so I always assured her, like, Mom, you don't have to worry about that, you know. But she always thought that she would be a burden, which she is not. Jazz is a hoot. So have you okay. all thought about that?
Yes, we have. Like a couple years ago, we redid like our will, and you know, we were doing the trust for Amelia, so that, you know, because we were doing the special needs trust and all that. And in our will, it was like, okay, well, what's going to happen? Well, you know, we have the people that if, you know, something happened to us while the girls were still young that they would go to. But as they're older, it was kind of like, okay. And then sweet Abby, she was like, well, Mama, she'd be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, then, you know, you're right. And I was like, we just need to be praying that the husband, the man that you marry is all for it.
Oh, I don't think Abby would have that any other way.
Exactly. That was one of my criterias with my husband. Yeah, yeah.
Abby, and both of your girls just amaze me. I mean, really. And then the fact, one thing that has always amazed me about you and Danny, in the most wonderful way, y'all have never treated Amelia any differently. You know, like, you still expected her to help around the house, to be respectful, to, if she gets a punishment, she gets a punishment, to go, you know, help the dog. And so I remember the first few times I came over, I was like, you're gonna make her clean the floor? Like, you know, are you serious? She needs to go, you know. And you're like, Amelia, I said now means now, you know. I was like, don't
Tama, girl, I love you. Come on, that's that teacher side coming out.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm like, if my child can learn to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, no, sir, every kid can learn.
That's
yes.
right. That's right.
Yes.
So that is one thing. We've always made sure that we treated her just like we treated Abby. Yeah. Our expectations are the same. Yes, there may be times that it takes her a couple more times of instruction to learn something. Sure. Might take her longer to understand it. But I feel like, why should I treat her differently? Mm-hmm. She's our child, and we're going to treat her just the same. And, you know, yes, she's, oh, goodness, she's a mess. But we love her, and she is so much fun. And she is just like any, I'd say, I don't like the word typical, but if you want to say just any typical, you know, preteen, she's just like everybody else. She loves makeup. She's moody. She loves to dance. She loves to sing. She loves school. She loves church. You know, she loves to go out to eat. That's her love language.
I love that.
You know, she plays soccer and she plays basketball and she plays softball. And just like, you know, we just want to treat her just like any other kid and just, you know, have high expectations, because I feel like if you look at the negative,
Tama, I'm so sorry. We're going to have to cut you off. I'm so sorry. We've run out of time.
Love y'all. Thank you for having us.
Well, you're good, Tama. Thank you so much for coming on. She's literally sunshine. Tama and both of her girls. And then we can't go without saying how much we love Danny. And so I just appreciate y'all coming on. Y'all are the hands and feet of Jesus daily. And we didn't even get into all of that. But I love y'all. And thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart. We might have to have Tama back.
I would love
sometime.
To. I have more questions, Tama.
Oh, no, I'm ready.
Thank you, listeners, and we'll see you next time.